this is the first parsha where we're reintroduced to Shabbat. It's ultimately given to Israel. We learn later that it will be a sign. So in this week's parsha, the children of Israel are introduced to two things, manna and Adonai Shabbat. We read in Exodus 16:23. He told them, this is what Adonai had said, tomorrow is a holy Shabbat for Adonai. Bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, and whatever is left over, set aside and keep for the morning. This is the first reference of Shabbat since Bereshit or Genesis 2:1-3. When Adonai rested and established this day by blessing it and thus setting it apart from the other 6 days. And this is a reminder for you, Genesis 2:1-3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, along with everything in them. On the seventh day, God was finished with his work, which he had made. So he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. God blessed the seventh day and separated it as holy, because on that day God rested from all his work, which he had created, so that it itself could produce. So Israel was being introduced to a concept that was foreign to them and ultimately foreign to the world at the time as well, a day of rest, a day set apart by Adonai and for Adonai. Through Moses, Adonai would introduce this radical concept at the time. Adonai had established Shabbat with an intention for it. Yes, there was rest, but there was something even more relational and intimate. We read in Exodus 31:16-17, which are verses that we chant in the Vishamru. The people of Israel are to keep the Shabbat, to observe the Shabbat through all their generations as a perpetual or everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Adonai made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and rested. Adonai would give the Shabbat to Israel as a sign of the relationship, a symbol of the covenant between himself and his people. This would be similar to the wedding ring of a marriage, which represents the union of the marriage between a man and a woman. Thus, Adonai did not give us a physical ring, but a spiritual ring that represents the union between him and his people. There is more to this relationship, yet for today, I want to focus on the symbol of the relationship. I'm reminded of a book that I had read a few years ago that was originally published in 1951 by a gentleman by the name of Abraham Joshua Heschel. Abraham Joshua Heschel was born in 1907 and lived until 1972. He was a Polish-born American rabbi and one of the leading Jewish theologians and Jewish philosophers of the 20th century. Heschel is a widely read theologian whose most influential works include Man is Not Alone, God in Search of Man, The Sabbath, and The Prophets. At the Vatican II Council between 1962 and 1965, as representative of American Jews, Heschel persuaded the Roman Catholic Church to eliminate or modify passages in its liturgy that demeaned the Jewish people or referred to an expected conversion to Christianity. So needless to say, he was rather influential during his time. The book that we're going to focus on and the excerpts that I'm going to be reading from it is his book entitled The Sabbath. So when I read this a few years ago, I had just gotten through the first chapter and had found many of the things he was writing regarding this unique day to be extremely profound. So today I want to share some of his words with you. Hopefully you will come away with a deeper and richer understanding of what Shabbat is truly all about. Heschel writes this, three acts of God denote the seventh day. He rested, he blessed, and he hallowed the seventh day. To the prohibition of labor is therefore added the blessing of delight and the accent of sanctity. Not only the hands of man celebrate the day, the tongue and the soul keep the Sabbath. One does not talk on it in the same manner in which one talks on weekdays. Even thinking of business or labor should be avoided, he writes. Truly, one cannot half-heartedly celebrate Shabbat, as Heschel writes here. Labor is a craft, but perfect rest is an art. It is the result of an accord of body, mind, and imagination. To attain a degree of excellence in art, one must accept its discipline. One must abjure slothfulness. The seventh day is a palace in time which we build. So it's something that we actually do and that we're actually responsible for constructing. This palace's foundation is from Adonai, but we are the ones who construct it. Heschel continues on and writes, what is so luminous about a day? What is so precious to captivate the hearts? It is because the seventh day is a mine where spirits, precious metals, can be found with which to construct the palace in time, a dimension in which the human is at home with the divine, a dimension in which man aspires to approach the likeness of the divine. This is one way in which we truly approach Adonai in all ways. It is, in essence, what Yeshua conveys to us in Yochanan chapter 14, starting in verse 1, where he says, don't let yourselves be disturbed or troubled. Trust in God, trust, and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many places to live. If there weren't, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. Since I am going and preparing a place for you, I will return to take you with me, so that where I am, you may be also. Furthermore, you know where I'm going, and you know the way there. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Shabbat is in essence that temporary place in time whereby we connect with Adonai while waiting or awaiting this promise of Yeshua. It is a moment in time yet truly transcends time. Heschel writes this, for where shall the likeness of God be found? There is no quality the space has in common with the essence of God. There is not enough freedom on the top of the mountain. There is not enough glory in the silence of the sea. Yet the likeness of God can be found in time, which is eternity in disguise. The art of keeping the seventh day is the art of painting on the canvas of time the mysterious grandeur of the climax of creation. As he sanctified the seventh day, so shall we. The love of Shabbat is the love of man for what he and God have in common. Our keeping the Sabbath day is a paraphrase of his sanctification of the seventh day. In essence, it is an image of our sanctification. Through acceptance of Yeshua, we are brought near to Adonai. And keeping in mind, Heschel is not, and I don't believe ever became, one who believed in Yeshua. But listen to his words here. What would the world be without Shabbat? It would be a world that knew only itself or God, distorted as a thing or an abyss, separating him from the world, a world without the vision of a window in eternity that opens in time. For all the idealization, there is no danger of the idea of Shabbat becoming a fairy tale. With all the romantic idealization, the Shabbat remains a concrete fact, a legal institution, and a social order. There is no danger of it becoming a disembodied spirit, for the spirit of the Sabbath must always be in accord with the actual deeds, with definite actions, and with abstentions. The real and the spiritual are one, like body and soul in a living man. It is for the law to clear the path. It is for the soul to sense the spirit. Now, keeping in mind, this was written in 1951, so we're talking almost 70 years ago. And needless to say, the framework has changed, for we are seeing the very fabric and foundation of our faith under attack. Sanctity of life, expression through assembly, and the word of Adonai, Thus, we need to uphold this foundational element of our faith, regardless of what transpires, because Shabbat is very personal to Adonai, and therefore should be personal to us as well. It is a means by which we can connect and a way in which we can emulate Him. In other words, there is a oneness associated with Shabbat in terms of conduct and essence. Heschel quotes from the Talmud this passage, from Mekilat Tah 31:13, the glorification of the day, the insistence upon strict observance, did not, however, lead the rabbis to a deification of the law. The Sabbath is given unto you, not you unto the Sabbath. Does this sound familiar? It should, because these are the very words that Yeshua himself demonstrated in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Then he said to them, Shabbat was made for mankind, not mankind for Shabbat. So the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. A similar passage appears in Mekilat Tah, Shabbat 1:1, referencing Exodus 31:12-17, where the saying is attributed to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. It may be, therefore, that Yeshua's comment in Mark that the Son of Man is Lord over Shabbat does not refer only to himself, but to everyone, since Hebrew ben Adam, meaning the Son of Man, can mean simply man, person, with no messianic overtone, but people in control of Shabbat, and not the other way around. So we have control over how we experience, what that experience will be. We have control over whether we do it or not. And then in Genesis Rabbah 19:3, the ancient rabbis knew that excessive piety may endanger the fulfillment of the essence of the law. There is nothing more important, according to Torah, than to preserve human life, even when there is the slightest possibility that a life may be at stake. One may disregard every prohibition of the law. One must sacrifice mitzvot for the sake of man rather than the sacrifice man for the sake of mitzvot. And then the final reference, the purpose of Torah is to bring life to Israel in the world and in the world to come. So this idea of Shabbat is not, you are not, come with this, you are not negating everything else and solely focusing on this, because in essence, the prime essence of Torah is life, and the ability to experience life provides us the ability to experience rest. Likely not knowing Messiah, Heschel wrote this, The Sabbath is the most precious present mankind has received from the treasure house of Adonai. All week we think the spirit is too far away, and we succumb to spiritual absenteeism, or at best we pray, send us a little of thy spirit. On the Sabbath the spirit stands and pleads, accept all excellence from me. And he continues, yet what the spirit offers is often too august for our trivial minds. We accept the ease and relief and miss the inspirations of the day, where it comes from and what it stands for. This is why we pray for understanding. In not having an intimate relationship with Yeshua, the spirit of Adonai appears to be external and separate, as Heschel alludes to in his writings. Yet when we do have this relationship, and his spirit is internal and inclusive, from the house of God, there is no greater treasure mankind can receive than Yeshua. With that treasure, many things come with that, including the treasure of Shabbat, for which is a treasure given to Israel, unlike anything any other nation had received to this day. Its essence and characteristics are the embodiment of Adonai. Heschel writes this, to celebrate Shabbat is to celebrate the coronation of a day in the spiritual wonderland of time, the air of which we inhale when we call it a delight. And he writes further, call the Sabbath a delight to the soul and a delight to the body, since there are so many acts which one must abstain from doing on the seventh day. You might think I have given you the Sabbath for your displeasure. I have surely given you the Sabbath for your pleasure. To sanctify the seventh day does not mean thou shalt mortify thyself, but on the contrary, thou shalt sanctify it with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy senses. Sanctify the Sabbath by choice meals, by beautiful garments. Delight your soul with pleasure, and I will reward you with this very pleasure. This is from Deuteronomy Rabbah 3:1, also in the Talmud, for which I would also say the coming together of believers in the body of Messiah is another way to accentuate the essence of Shabbat. Heschel continues, unlike the Day of Atonement, the Sabbath is not dedicated exclusively to spiritual goals. It is a day of the soul as well as of the body. Comfort and pleasure are an integral part of the Sabbath observance. Man in his entirety, all his faculties, must share its blessing. The Sabbath is a reminder of the two worlds, this world and the world to come. It is an example of both worlds, for the Sabbath is joy, holiness, and rest. Joy is part of this world. Holiness and rest are something of the world to come. Now we're talking rest, but also a spiritual rest. To observe the seventh day, he writes, does not mean merely to obey or to conform to the strictness of a divine command. To observe is to celebrate the creation of the world and to create the seventh day all over again. The majesty of holiness and time, a day of rest, a day of freedom, a day which is like a Lord and King of all other days, a Lord and King of the commonwealth of time. If you go back in Genesis, and you'll know that in the first 6 days, each day concluded with it was evening and it was morning. The seventh day does not conclude that way, thus establishing a connection with the eternal nature of what the Shabbat truly represents, not just in this time and in this world, but in a time to come, as Heschel has alluded to several times. Heschel goes on to write this, how should we weigh the differences between the Sabbath and the other days of the week? When a day like Wednesday arrives, the hours are blank. And unless we lend significance to them, they remain without character. The hours of the seventh day are significant in themselves. Their significance and beauty do not depend on any work, profit, or progress we may achieve. They have the beauty of grandeur in themselves. From the afternoon prayer on Shabbat, beauty of grandeur, a crown of victory, a day of rest and holiness. A rest in love and generosity, a true and genuine rest, a rest that yields peace and serenity, tranquility and security, a perfect rest with which thou art pleased. Again, this is an afternoon prayer from the liturgy, from the Siddur liturgy for Shabbat. Shabbat is not dependent upon anything that we do, nor is it beholden to us. The seventh day is like a palace in time with a kingdom for all. It is not a date, but an atmosphere. So Shabbat transcends all physical aspects of this world. And the essence of it, the essence created and established by Adonai on the seventh day, is something that we will experience in the kingdom. In other words, Shabbat transcends time and space. It exists for us in time and space, as what I have quoted earlier, a connection between the world now and the world to come. Heschel writes this, how precious is the Feast of Booths or Sukkot. Dwelling in the booth, even our body is surrounded by the sanctity of the mitzvah. Said once a rabbi to his friend, whereupon the latter remarked, The Sabbath day is even more than that. On the feast, you may leave the booth for a while, whereas Shabbat surrounds you wherever you go. He continues, the difference between Shabbat and all other days is not to be noticed in the physical structure of things, in their spiritual dimension. This is only a difference in the dimension of time, in the relation of the universe to God. The Sabbath preceded creation, and the Sabbath completed creation. It is all of the spirit the world can bear. He continues, the words, on the seventh day God finished his work, from Genesis 2:2, seems to be a puzzle. It is not said he rested on the seventh day. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, that we read of from Exodus 20 and verse 11. We would surely expect the Bible to tell us that on the sixth day God finished his work. Obviously, the ancient rabbis concluded there was an act of creation on the seventh day. Just as heaven and earth were created in 6 days, Manoah was created on the Sabbath. After 6 days of creation, what did the universe still lack? Manoah. Came the Sabbath, came Manoah, or rest, and the universe was complete. So what is Manoah? Manoah, which we usually render with rest, means here much more than withdrawal from labor and exertion, more than freedom from toil and strain or activity of any kind. Manoah is not a negative concept, but something real and intrinsically positive. This must have been the view of the ancient rabbis if they believed that it took a special act of creation to bring it into being, that the universe would be complete without it. So what was created on the seventh day? As we read, on the seventh day, God was finished with his work, which he had made. So he rested on the seventh day from all his work for which he had made. So what was created? According to Genesis Rabbah 10:9, tranquility, serenity, peace, and repose were created on the seventh day. Adonai is speaking to Isaiah and conveying a message for Israel, a people who did not honor the treasure given them, thus leading to expulsion from the land, a message that is one of hope, inspiration, and restoration, that should they heed these words, would result in protection. And this is from Isaiah chapter 58 and verses 13 and 14. If you hold back your foot on Shabbat from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call Shabbat a delight, Adonai's holy day, worth honoring, then honor it by not doing your usual things or pursuing your usual interests or speaking about them. If you do, you will find delight in Adonai. I will make you ride on the heights of the land and feed you with the heritage of your ancestor, with your ancestor Yaakov, for the mouth of Adonai has spoken. And the mitzvah is, what is the mitzvah for Shabbat? And we see this in Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8. Remember the day Shabbat to be set apart for God. So the mitzvah is to remember. And this is the parameter. You have 6 days to labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Shabbat for Adonai, your God. On it you are not to do any kind of work. Not you, your sons, your daughter. Not your male or female slave. Not your livestock. And not the foreigner staying with you inside the gates of your property. And this is the reason. In verse 11. For in 6 days Adonai made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. This is why Adonai blessed the day, Shabbat, and separated it for himself. On the first occurrence, Adonai conveys this day that he has established for himself and has brought in the children of Israel to partake in this blessed time. We read in Exodus 31:17 again. It is a sign between me and the people of Israel forever. For in 6 days Adonai made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and rested. On the second occurrence, it is mentioned as a commandment. Shabbat is established as a sign between Adonai and Israel. We read in Deuteronomy 5:15, this is the second time that it's referenced as a commandment. You are to remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Adonai your God brought you out from there with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. Therefore, Adonai your God has ordered you to keep the day of Shabbat. On the third occurrence, it is mentioned as a commandment. Shabbat is conveyed as a memorial to the Exodus from Egypt, whereby freedom enables one to rest without fear. Not only is Shabbat connected to creation, but it is also connected with Adonai delivering Israel from slavery in Egypt, and thus making it a sign of this covenant. All are to be remembered. I quoted this earlier. The purpose of Torah is to bring life to Israel in this world and in the world to come. In bringing life to Israel, Adonai brings life to the rest of the world, as is conveyed in Isaiah 42:5-9. Thus says God, Adonai, who created the heavens and spread them out, who stretched out the earth and all that grows from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, Adonai, called you righteously. I took hold of you by the hand. I shaped you and made you a covenant for the people to be a light to the nations, so that you can open blind eyes, free the prisoners from confinement, those living in darkness from the dungeon. I am Adonai, and that is my name. I yield my glory to no one else, nor my praise to an idol. See how the former predictions come true. And now new things do I declare. Before they sprout, I tell you about them. And thus, there is no better representation of this foundational truth. This foundational truth that the purpose of Torah is to bring life to Israel in this world and in the world to come than what is found in Proverbs chapter 3. We are also reminded in this parsha of Israel's challenge to honor Adonai's mitzvot when they were instructed not to go out and collect manna, for there would be no manna because it was Adonai's Shabbat. Rereading Exodus 16:27-28. However, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather and found none, being manna. Adonai said to Moses, how long will you refuse to observe my mitzvot and my teachings? Thus consider the words of Proverbs 3 as a guide for how we are to not refuse and to observe his mitzvot and his teachings. And again, there's more to this dynamic, and we'll talk more about Shabbat as we go through the parsha and as we learn more about how to live according to Torah. Keeping in mind, use this as your guide in terms of following after Adonai in honoring Yeshua the Son, thus ultimately honoring Adonai the Father. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, don't forget my teaching. Keep my commandments in your heart. Now, keeping in mind, this is not just your heart, but we're now talking a circumcised heart that you now have, making it that much easier, that much more closer to you. Verse 2, for they will add to you many days, years of life and peace. And this is in relation to the verse, the passage that I read earlier, that the purpose of Torah is to bring forth life. Do not let, verse 3, do not let grace and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and esteem in the sight of God and of people. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will level your paths. Don't be conceited about your own wisdom, but fear Adonai and turn from evil. This will bring health to your body and give strength to your bones. Honor Adonai with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your income. Then your granaries will be filled and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, don't despise Adonai's discipline or resent his reproof. For Adonai corrects those he loves, like a father who delights in his son. Happy the person who finds wisdom, the person who acquires understanding. For her profit exceeds that of silver. Gaining her is better than gold. She is more precious than pearls. Nothing you want can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, riches and honor in her left. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who grasp her. Whoever holds fast to her will be made happy. Adonai by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deep springs burst open, and the dew condenses from the sky. My son, don't let these slip from your sight. Preserve common sense and discretion. They will be life for your being and grace for your neck. Then you will walk your way securely without hurting your foot. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, you will sleep. Your sleep will be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden terror or destruction caused by the wicked when it comes. Not if it comes, but when it comes. For you can rely on Adonai. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Don't withhold good from someone entitled to it when you have in hand the power to do it. Don't tell your neighbor, go away. Come another time. I'll give it to you tomorrow. When you have it now, don't plan harm against your neighbor who lives beside you trustingly. Don't quarrel with someone for no reason if he has done you no harm. Don't envy a man of violence. Don't choose any of his ways. For the perverse is an abomination to Adonai, but he shares his secret counsel with the upright. Adonai's curse is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the home of the righteous. The scornful he scorns, but gives grace to the humble. The wise win honor, but fools win shame. So consider Proverbs 3 as a roadmap to following Adonai, in honoring him through keeping his mitzvot, with one of those mitzvot being Shabbat. Hopefully you have a better understanding of how we should be embracing this time. The notes will be online later, the recording after that. So you'll be able to view these words again and again, etching them in your mind that Shabbat is not just a day of rest, but there's an essence and there's an eternal nature to it that transcends not only time, but also transcends our understanding as individuals. There is a peace associated with it. There is a closeness that we can truly establish with Adonai. And not that we can't worship God on any other day, but I believe this is a day where Adonai provides us with his undivided attention, that he focuses on us when we focus on him. So this isn't an act of labor or an act of responsibility because of the covenant, but it's an act of the heart because you have the option whether you decide to draw close to God on his Shabbat or you choose not to. The door is always open. Shabbat always appears on the seventh day after the week. So the opportunity is always there so long as you have breath. So hopefully you will embrace this day, that you have a greater understanding of the essence of Shabbat, and that you will truly not only just rejoice in it, but you will rejoice through it as well. Lord, there is no greater blessing than what we have received as believers in Messiah Yeshua. And the blessings that go with that in terms of honoring the Lord of the Sabbath as well. For Lord, on this day, let us truly be honoring you through this day and through this time. May you truly be honored, may you be glorified. And Lord, may the rest of this day be peaceful and refreshing. May there be divine appointments and divine interactions occurring during this time amongst your people, Lord. May you be honored, may you be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen.